Welcome to Women Winning Divorce. I am your host, Heather Quick. I'm an attorney, entrepreneur, author, and founder of Florida Women's Law Group, the only divorce firm for women by women. I love thinking big, thinking outside the box, creating creative solutions for women, and empowering women to win in all aspects of their life. In each episode of this show, I will discuss how to navigate the divorce process, come out stronger and empowered on the other side.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce. Each week, we discuss issues including divorce, custody, alimony, paternity, narcissism, mediation, and other family law issues. Provide insight on the journey of women winning divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney of Florida Women's Law Group. Today, I'm being joined by Kristen Markroff, managing co-partner and attorney of Freed Markroff in Connecticut. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Hi, Heather. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's just such a pleasure. And last episode, we had the opportunity to talk with your partner, Megan. And I'm so excited to have the other half of Markroff and Freed on the show today.
Happy to be here.
Well, good. So this is always my opening question, Kristen, as far as helping our listeners get to know you a little bit. But tell us a little bit about what has drawn you to family law and keeps you there.
So I would say that over the life of our firm, which is about a little over 10 years now, I would say family law found us more than we found it. You know, we started as a general practice, doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, as firms so often do, particularly when they're young. And we knew pretty early on that if we wanted to grow, we'd have to get really good at one thing. And we really, Megan and I didn't even really have much of a conversation about it. We both knew what the one thing was, and that it was family law. And I think, I lost an iPad. I'm going to let it go. I think we have probably some of the same reasons. You know, for Megan has personal experience with divorce. And then so has feelings about how that it was ultimately a very positive thing in her life. In that now she and I are married. And for me, I don't have any personal experience with divorce. My parents never divorced, or really isn't in the course of my life throughout my family, there really isn't any divorce. Arguably, there probably should have been one or two. But for me, I think the attraction to it was just that it's not transactional, that it's the people part of it. And at the end of the day, for me, what is really motivating to me, what gets me out of bed, thinking about it and working in this practice area is really, I think of it as a transformation. Those times, and, you know, they don't all go that way, but those moments with clients where you just can see them changing and getting through something really, really hard that, like, in, you know, 201, nobody wanted, right? No one got married expecting that they were going to get divorced. But then there's these moments where people, you just see them, like, start to see a future, a different, you know, a better future. And that I do have experience with in the course of my life, going through something, you know, hard, challenging that I never saw happening, never would have chosen. And then sort of looking back on it now and being grateful for a lot of the hard pieces of it, because I know they're responsible for getting me where I am now, which is pretty great. So really, it's, if I had to boil it down to one word, that's it. It's the transformation.
Which is so wonderful. And I think that is really when you love family law, like we both do in our firm, it's because it's not just transactional.
Right.
We love the people. We love to see what the people go through, and we know how much we can impact what their ultimate outcome is, because there's so much that having great lawyers who care about you can do for you in a divorce. Yep. Not all cases quite doesn't matter as much, I think.
Yeah.
Because the more you're willing to listen, the more creative and the more you can really help people with that better future. So I love that about your firm, because too many family law attorneys don't love it. But we don't talk to them much.
They're not our kind, dear. Yeah.
That's right. That is right. Now, in this episode, what we are going to talk about, which I think is going to be great conversation and to get your take on it, but the shame and guilt that so often women feel after the end of a marriage or the beginning of a divorce, basically knowing this is where they're going. And what's been your experience in seeing, you know, women going through these emotions during their divorce?
Yeah, I mean, I think rarely are they not both present, at least on some level or at some point during leading up to the divorce, during the divorce, after the divorce. I think that so often that divorce is sort of perceived as a failure, the ending of something. And, like, as I said earlier, that, it's not something people were thinking about when they were getting married and not something they were, saw their lives becoming. And so I think there's just those both of those emotions, guilt and shame, guilt for whatever, they perceive as their roles in the breakdown of the marriage, shame for the same reasons, how they're perceived by their family, their kids, their communities. At the end of the day, we work really hard to try to, honor both of those emotions because they're real, but to just get people out of the shame mindset, because there's no moving forward in it. It's really just limiting. Whereas guilt, guilt so often is just, we all experience it, and it too can be limiting. But at the end of the day, it's really just about taking responsibility for, we say for your 100%, not 50%. We always talk about relationships in terms of being responsible for your 100%, and the other person is responsible for their 100%. And you can feel guilty about maybe things that you would have done differently or said differently. But then at the end of the day, taking responsibility for that, forgiving yourself for that, and then moving on, as opposed to shame, which is just like a place that you can really spend a whole lot of your life in, and it just doesn't get anybody anywhere.
Yeah, I think that is such a great way to explain it and really make the difference in the two. And, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that when we talk about divorce, a lot of it is still taboo, and there is that, well, somebody failed, like, who, what did he do,
right?
What did you do, right?
Yeah.
And versus openly, it's okay to talk about mental health struggles, even emotional issues, and nobody's asking whose fault it was, but
right,
what do you think about that? I mean, I think that there is still a fear of judgment when saying I'm getting divorced.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think, again, it's historically been perceived as a failure. It's not, certainly not something that has historically been applauded or recognized as really being the, in my opinion, the courageous act that it is. And, and sometimes there are so often the issues that you mentioned, mental health issues and all sorts of, things like that. But at the end of the day, sometimes people just also grow apart. They change. And sometimes people, whether they, got married young or didn't and had kids or didn't, sometimes people just fundamentally grow apart. And at the end of the day, we only get this one life. So that just, to me, people choosing that they're going to be happy in this one life, including if that means ending the marriage that they're in, that to me is about the most courageous act that a person can do. And I also think that it's particularly for parents, showing that courage to their kids. At the end of the day, to me, if people care about there being less divorce, I don't know a better way to do it than for people who are unhappy to decide to move on into something more happy and show their kids that there's courage in choosing your own happiness, and there's courage in deciding that there's a certain kind of relationship that you're going to accept, and then there's a certain kind of relationship that you're not going to accept. And it doesn't have to be cast in this negative light, as I think it historically has been, whether they're mental health issues, or it's just, like I said, just we once were happy and we're just not now.
And I think that too, what you talked about at the beginning and why this is the, area of law for you is the, transformation, because sometimes I think it's just more than happy, but it's easy to say, hey, happy, but it's really, are you really living your full potential? When you're not, you're depriving everybody else of what you're capable of, including your children, if you are not fully who you should be. And you're staying in the marriage because you think, well, I have to stick it out. I owe it to everybody, but then you haven't helped anybody because you're not this fully, present human who is giving you know, everything they've got, to the people around them, to maybe, you know, their occupation or just whatever mm-hmm. it is. Because I think when you are in this place of a bad marriage, there's just very little you can do for yourself or anybody else.
Right.
Really, it can be all consuming.
Yeah, it certainly can be all consuming. It's just, it's sort of like, you know, almost living like a fake life. And that takes a lot of energy to be out in the world pretending something is other than what it truly is. And I like the way that you said that. I think at the end of the day, yeah, it's diminishing yourself and depriving the world of who you really are. And more importantly, could be.
And, you know, I think that it's the failure that is what people perceive as so bad. And, and they're so afraid of it. And but I mean, it takes, you know, it takes two to make it and it takes two to break it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
at least,
like you said, you know, it's your, it takes your 100%, but for your part, but it's not all you. It just can't be. It's impossible to be all one person's fault.
Right.
And even that, I think, can be hard when you're the spouse who doesn't want the divorce and you're like, but he's cheating. And, you know, I think we've both had those clients in the past, and I get it. And I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not a mental health counselor and working through it, but I know there's pain there. And I see more often than not women get to the point by the end or even maybe years later where they say, I can see now.
Yeah.
Where they may not say, I have played a part, but like that they at least acknowledge that that marriage didn't succeed for both. And which is a great sense of growth for anybody because, you know, otherwise they're like, why fail? Like he went and, you know, he cheated on me.
Yeah.
So I must not be a very good wife, right?
Right.
Or, you know, good cook or all these other things that cause them to leave, but it usually has to do more about them. On leaving, you have to separate yourself from the shame as if one is if you owe an explanation. Maybe not even your children are, they're just part of your life. So you're going to have a dialogue and talk about it. But it's not, maybe the word is people are looking for something to justify it. When you don't feel like you found anything to justify it, you feel guilty.
Right. And I think at the end of the day too, and this is, I mean, this is certainly true in divorce, but I think just in life, I think that when we do exactly what you said, look at the things that happen in our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, and in this case, probably most especially the bad and the ugly. And even sometimes when there's, even if there's cheating or, you know, whatever the case may be, where it feels like there is occasion to try to assign blame, even in those instances, if the person to whom those things happen to finds a way to take responsibility for whatever their role may have been, and it could be something they didn't do, it could be just tolerating a relationship that was less than really what they wanted or thought they had, you know, gotten into, it's taking responsibility for whatever your role is, even in the thing that maybe you felt like a victim in, it is empowering. And it doesn't justify whatever the behavior may have been, cheating or whatever the case may be, but it's empowering to understand like, I probably did play a role in how this ended. Even if there are things that happened to me that I don't think I would have done to somebody else, it's empowering to just take responsibility for it rather than live in, why did this happen to me? I didn't deserve that. Those things can still be true, but hanging out there is just a recipe for just another way of diminishing yourself and the life that you could be leading.
Agreed. Now, let me ask you this. If you, you know, just what your perception is and experience, since we represent women only, obviously we have a one-sided view on that, but you know, you know, I believe, and I've kind of seen this play out a little bit, and women maybe tend to feel more responsible for the relationship in many cases. And so then sometimes maybe that leads them taking more of the blame or accepting failures that their husband may push on them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you said, we represent both men and women. But I agree with you. I think they're just sort of fundamental differences in the way that women move through the world than the way that men move through the world. And I do think that that women tend to shoulder more of the, or be maybe more like introspective, like, what did I do? How did I fail here? What could I have done differently? And, you know, why is this happening to me? And how could I have done better? I do think there's just a different sort of, like I said, different way of moving through the world that we do represent both, but I agree with you. We see that in our practice as well.
Yeah. And I think it's just, you know, part of, and a lot of times within the podcast, we're just giving information, not only to the women listening, but also like, hey, you're not alone, right?
No.
These are feelings that, you know, we've seen that our clients have. And one of the greatest things, and we had this come up actually in a big firm meeting with some initiatives that we're doing, but one of my attorneys said, you know, our clients can't always see. We wish we had the lens of how they were at the beginning of this process and then to see themselves now, because
right.
it's easy for us to see this transformation, see
yep, right.
how overwhelmed they are with this decision. And even if they want it, sometimes they feel guilty. Sometimes they feel more yep. guilty if they want it.
Yeah. I think, yeah, often. Right.
You know, and so that weighs on them, because those are heavy mm-hmm. emotions that, like mm-hmm. you said, aren't really productive. But then as they can begin to come out of that and see that future,
yep.
they have totally transformed and they've been able to let that go.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I think that, and I think you're exactly right that more often than not, if it's the woman choosing the divorce, there's just frequently more guilt, that maybe even more than frequently, maybe every time, for making that decision. And I'm not suggesting that men don't think inwardly or you know, what could I have done differently, but I think with women, you know, look, they're still holding up the world. That's just, yeah. just the truth. I don't know. You know, fight me on that one.
Yeah.
Like, let's go, because it's just the truth. I mean, we, our firm represents men and women, but men and women, we are predominantly comprised of women. And sort of just, it's just kind of like what's happened over the years. Like it's our, just not by design. It's just what happened. So, and a lot of our women are moms. So they're working moms, and they're just still, you know, even during COVID, and when the school's open and then it's closing all of a sudden, they don't call dad to come pick the, you know, kid up. They don't call, or, you know, the nurse doesn't call dad. The nurse calls mom, even when they're both have full-time jobs, careers, whatever the case may be. It's just, there's just the reality that women are holding up the world, and the expectations on women placed on them by the world, never mind the expectations that they place on themselves, are vastly different. And in my opinion, more than is placed on men. That's just, you know, again, fight me on it.
Well, you are.
I know you won't.
You know, I won't, but anyway, especially not our women winning divorce, right? We're definitely talking
right.
about that. But let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more and how divorce causes shame. Welcome back for the second segment of the show. We are here today with Kristen Marcroft from Free
Again.
Marcroft in Connecticut. And we've been talking about, you know, divorce and shame in a divorce, and maybe some mm-hmm. about what's the difference and the way that women in our experience tend to shoulder some of these feelings. And, you know, I think a little bit of that, which we touched on as we were going to break, but that a woman's nature leads her to take on all the responsibility sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like you said earlier, sometimes, you know, that's expectations of the world, but then sometimes we have to own it. We want to
yeah.
kind of try to be in mini control of everything, which is not
right.
truth, but there's so little we control. However, with that comes that responsibility, and then also the family, because you know women are definitely relational, and there's a lot of that. When there's a divorce, it affects everybody.
It affects now, their own family and their friends and their extended family, and it's the tentacles are very far reaching.
And they are, and you know, many times there is a loss. Sometimes it's sometimes maybe it's a little bit more welcome than others, but to have a whole set of in-laws. And many times those relationships are, particularly in a longer term marriage, those are solid relationships that it can be difficult to navigate after the divorce. And there can then be blame from that family on you, because I think it's true. We both know nobody knows what goes on inside a relationship, right?
Yeah.
They look one way on the outside, and
and then there's the truth.
There's the truth. And and so I do think, because families get hurt or they're sad, but they can have a lot of judgment. And a lot, because they don't really understand, but yet you can be really in a position where you feel as though there's all kind of family blaming you as the woman, talking about this from the woman's perspective, and how to deal with that.
Right. I mean, there's just a reality to whatever your personal journey is, whatever work you may have done on yourself, however it evolves, you have been, wherever you are in the process that you're going through, you can't also bring other people with you, right? So like, as particularly when you're talking about in-laws, you're talking about a whole other generation, and then they've got all their, whatever they're bringing to the table in terms of how they perceive marriage, how they perceive divorce. And frequently, as you know, when you're talking about divorce, often the notion that like, you shouldn't do it, it's sort of comes down to like, try harder. I wasn't happy either, but I stuck it out. And it's kind of,
I think that's common.
Right. And I, especially for women, and, I think women are the very best cheerleaders for other women, but I think often they also can be the very worst. And, it's like, you got to find a way to sort of protect your own peace and understand, like, to your point, some of those relationships are going to survive and some of them aren't. And, and I agree with you, particularly in a long marriage, it's not just the marriage that's the loss. There's so much collateral damage that can be a part of it. And I don't know that you can prepare for that. Just apart from recognizing that at the end of the day, you can't bring everyone with you. And they're so often when there's blame coming at you from those relationships, it's really at the end of the day, it feels very personal, but it's not. It's them, how they feel about their own relationships, their own choices, their own sometimes lack of choices, or at least making them. And it's really challenging, I think, a lot of the time to navigate that. And I do think it's much harder for women than for men. Because I think, again, to your point, like, I think women just tend to be more relationship driven than men are. And so there are some real losses that are part of divorce that extend way beyond the actual end of a marriage.
Now, there's definitely, it's all across the board. I see a lot of women that, like, really, once we get through the process, they come off a lot of medication that they may have been on to cope. However, I think obviously there are other women who really have a hard time, and maybe they need that extra help and support. Now, does Connecticut have any specific services or anything that really is specific to, any mental health struggles
for
anybody during divorce?
So I wouldn't say that Connecticut has any, I wouldn't say that it's specific to that necessarily, but what we do have in Connecticut is a very, and you do in Florida as well, we have a very robust collaborative divorce community in Connecticut. And And part of collaborative divorce are mental health professionals. And so there are this just sort of network of mental health professionals who are very, 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 very versed in working with families for the divorce, whether it's, you know, the adults and also with children. And we probably about a third of our practice is actual collaborative divorce, but we endeavor to bring those professionals in to all of our divorces, you know, to varying degrees of success. People aren't always open to that. But they're very good at just, you know, it's, you don't want to tell people like that divorce is rote and everybody's, you know, it's every divorce is the same. And you don't want, people don't want, they want to know that you know what you're doing, but they don't want to feel like you don't got me.
Right.
But the reality is with these mental health professionals that do collaborative divorce, they know what's coming for their clients. And so we try to introduce the concept of not just mental health professionals, but these particular mental health professionals who day in, day out work with couples who are in families who are going through divorce. So while I wouldn't say it's specific in Connecticut, working with people going through divorce, we just try to take advantage of the network of people that do exist who work in the collaborative field and sort of bring them into even litigated divorces and also including help us like draft our agreements.
That's a lot. Yeah, that makes so much sense. Florida just, I think it's more by jurisdiction. Locally, jurisdictions do require parenting classes. But it's just like a one class. It's just two. And it's, you know, they say it's not terrible. It, you know, obviously it's not really personalized, but
yeah.
We certainly, you know, to touch on what you said that, you know, hey, therapy's great. That was going to help you without a doubt.
Yep.
But, you know, there are so many therapists that specifically do deal with either families, the individuals or children, but in the family law practice, like understanding, like you said, what potentially is coming, like what expect can really go a long way in helping the individual deal through that and even maybe repairing relationships with children and their parents during this
process. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and like I said, it's not, you know, it's sort of like navigating the lines between your divorce and your family are specific to you and with all the nuances that exist from family to family and person to person. But then at the same time, there are still themes, right? There are still things that are very common things that we see when people are going through divorces, things that are common, how people, in terms of how people feel, sort of problems that might arise or unforeseen to them, circumstances that people who are work in a, you know, day in and day out with people going through what you're going through, even though yours isn't exactly the same, it's still going to have a lot enough similarities that you can, to your point, like, here's what's coming. Here are some things that you may not be feeling now, but in my experience, you might be feeling down the road, and let's get ahead of it and be willing to talk about it.
Yeah, I think that made me think of something very specific because, you know, all these feelings and the sadness and the guilt and shame and then anger, you know, they can feel in the beginning, but then they come up. And most likely later when they really rise up again is when there are new significant others brought into the mix.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, they're brought in much earlier than would be advisable, but I know, like, you know, especially with therapists, because as lawyers, I mean, I tell them all the time, I'm talking to you from your legal advantage.
Right.
You've got to talk to your therapist.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, I've got a lot of experience, but when we're talking about your case, I, you know, have that lens. But, you know, many times there is the importance of like the mental health people and things. Because you're amicable and you're like, well, no, we're just going to all get together every Christmas Day and, you know, with the kids. And I've talked to people about that. And I'm like, okay, like, maybe you just don't want that in writing because what if the next year he shows up with his new wife and new baby on Christmas Day? Are you going to feel the same way with your children?
Right.
And like a whole new family. And yep. I'm pretty sure his new wife isn't going to feel the same way.
Right.
And
yep.
Like, you just don't know what you don't know. And
right.
trying to use from both sides, saying, is that really going to be healthy for you? Yep. Even though you want
and your kids. Yeah.
You know, and that's for every different couple to answer, but I think it's one of those mm-hmm. things that sometimes, especially I think women, they'll make all these decisions, they're putting everybody in front of them.
Yeah. Right.
And then they are really angry because they're at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah. Right.
It's still not working.
And I think you raise a really good point, because I think so much of this, the work that we do and this practice is having the courage to ask questions like that, right? It's, I mean, uncomfortable questions. And even when things are amicable and you know, which is, that's a good time to be making decisions. But at the same time, like to your point, let's think ahead. Like I think it's our jobs to stand for not just the person that's in front of us right at present, but that same person a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I think it's our absolute responsibility to stand for those future versions of our clients and ask them to consider things that are uncomfortable, that they aren't going to naturally consider in the moment, so that we can be willing to have difficult conversations. Rather than like, you know, being Pollyanna about it when it's, yeah, I'm sure I'll be fine with that. When we know, I think you might not be.
Right. And there would be reasons not to, or
yeah.
to say you're always, and you know, and like you said, obviously we see the cases that go right. awry.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I agreed to always spend Christmas Eve with my in-laws, and now this is not what I want to do.
Right,
but then I don't
right.
want the kids to have to go there, like they're supposed to be with me, like things yeah. like that. You know, we see them when and badly, but I think that is our job as well to raise that issue, because
yeah.
they might be still in this, I feel so guilty, like the parents yep. have always been good to us, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make anybody mad, but yet,
right.
or I feel so guilty,
right.
but yep. then you're setting yourself up for just more grief down the road.
Yep.
And a lot of times can't really talk people out of that. You know, we try really hard on those things. I'm like, it's like, you can do it. Why have it in writing in court
right.
order
right.
that requires you to do something that will be difficult, you know, to change later on, because
yep.
feelings change.
Right. And that your future self that you can't maybe see right now, but I can. Mm-hmm. Isn't going to want that.
Right. Exactly. Well, this is a perfect time for another break. And when we come back with Kristen, we're going to talk about that future self and really how do you move on and what's ahead for you in the future. Thank you so much for joining us again. We are still talking about shame and guilt. In a divorce and those feelings. And as we move to the last segment of the show, we're going to talk about how to overcome these feelings, but really moving mm-hmm. on. And, you know, I talk a lot about not being a victim, and I know you mm-hmm. do too.
We do.
Because being a victim really does nothing to help you move forward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's challenging in our role
yeah.
as their advocate, but also to help them maybe see that mm-hmm. there's another way to view things. And I don't know,
right.
tell me, do you see your clients get stuck in that victimhood?
Oh yeah. I mean, like day in, day out. And I think it's to your point, it's not easy, but this is sort of our constant ongoing conversation, both with our clients and internally with our team. And I think it's important to help people see the distinction between being victimized. Like, it's true that something can happen to you that you didn't deserve, right? That can be true, but that what can also be true at the same time is that you are not a victim. And that so often is like a very foreign concept for people. But we spent a lot of time talking about the TED dynamic and the two triangles. And over in one triangle is the victim, and over in the other triangle is the creator. And we are constantly talking, using that language with our clients, and trying to get them to a place where they see themselves as creators, because when they're thinking that way, it's powerful, it's empowering. Whereas when they're in victim mindset, it's very difficult for them to make decisions. It's very difficult for them to see a way forward. It's very difficult for them to let go of the guilt, the shame, the things that are really just the diminishing beliefs that keep them stuck and unable to see a future, never mind move towards it. So that this, I would say probably the most frequent conversations in our, both again, in our firm and then outwardly with our clients, is about this.
And, you know, sometimes I think that it, like you said, it's, you know, how can we, because we are in a unique position mm-hmm. of trust and authority yeah. with our clients, and we're able to see it because we're on the outside looking in, and we,
yeah.
you know, can do that to help them move forward
right.
and try to begin to change their view on their circumstance,
mm-hmm.
Which I think was part of probably why you guys, why you said in the firm, you talk about, you know, 100% responsibility
yeah.
for yourself, not
for yourself,
for everything,
right.
not for the relationship, because you're not
no.
responsible for the whole relationship.
Yeah, right. You're 100% responsible for your part of the relationship, and they're responsible for 100% of their part. And that's sort of a foreign concept too, because we think of 100% as a whole, but from our perspective, each person is a whole. And that's what we mean when we say you're 100%, not that it's all on you, but that you are in charge of you. And that includes how you act for sure, but it also includes how you react. And I, it's, you know, so often this, even people that choose it or actually like make the decision that we're going, I want a divorce. That doesn't mean that they chose everything leading up to it. Right. And in fact, they pretty much never did. So there's always this mix of feeling in control and then not in control. And the more that we can get back to decision making and choices and empowerment, the more that we're really moving forward rather than just staying stuck in you know, not just in the present, but worse, the past.
Yeah, I think that the past and,
yeah.
you know, it really doesn't help you move forward, but then also you can begin to romanticize
yeah.
the past, you know, in a way that plays into this story that's not going to let you move on, right?
Right.
Because either now I'm just going to beat myself up and I, you know, I'm still such a bad person because it was so mm-hmm. wonderful, or, you know, just dwelling on that. And really, I think part of that moving forward in responsibility is also being able to forgive yourself as well as mm-hmm. others.
Yeah. I mean, I think that comes first, really. I think that's, you know, it's sort of a lifelong challenge. And I think a lifelong work in progress, the ability to forgive yourself. And I don't think anything real can happen before you do that. I don't think there's really, for me, I don't believe that there's a true way forward into, you know, your full self, the life that you're meant to live, unless and until you develop the skill to forgive yourself. I just don't. I think that has to come first.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, many times we treat ourselves the worst, like we talked about earlier,
yeah.
because we put everybody else first. But
right,
you know, if you we talk to ourselves sometimes in a way, think about ourselves in a way that we would never talk
yeah.
or think about our best friend,
yeah.
or, you know, our sister or mother, you know, where you want to give compassion
mm-hmm.
to yourself. And I think that at the end of the day, with, you know, when you're going through a divorce, being able to forgive yourself,
yeah.
because we're all human, right? We all have shortcomings,
yep.
and it's just,
yep.
you weren't perfect in this marriage. Neither were they, right?
Right. And, you know, I think that so often women are sort of just infected with this notion that making choices for themselves or, you know, whether it's like forgiving themselves or just choosing, like, I want to move on to something more, that those decisions are selfish. And I think that that's, I think that too is kind of a fundamental difference between men and women often, that women sort of have this limiting belief that when they choose things for themselves, it's selfish, instead of just deciding when I choose things for myself, so that I become the most actualized version of myself, then I'm here for all these other people that I care about. And when I don't do that, then I'm a lesser version of myself. Yes, for me, but for all of these other, my kids, all my community, my career, whatever the case may be. And I think that that's just, it's kind of the world that our moms were raised in, that in many cases we were raised in. And it takes courage to just decide, that's how right. I'm going to show up for the people that need me, by choosing myself first and taking care of myself first, so that I'm whole and present and able to be there for the people that I care about.
Yeah, I think that is such a great distinction. And, you know, sometimes I think that I know in my experience in talking with so many women over the years, I found that they said, you know, we are both such better people when we're not together. Like yeah. we didn't bring out the best in each other. And so right. therefore, when we are separate, we really actually were able to be better humans and yeah. better parents, because yep. something happened. And I think that that does totally happen. And mm-hmm. it happens over time, or at first maybe yep. it seems like you don't realize it, but you recognize that is not bringing the best. You're not bringing your best when you're with this person, for whatever
right.
that may be.
And that shows up everywhere. And there's just, you know, when you're living that way, that's how the universe is showing up for you as well. And it's not just, so it's never just one thing, right? If that's what's happening in your relationship, it's showing up everywhere else in your life. Even if, you know, people don't always see that or maybe want to acknowledge it, but it's just a fact. And when you make a decision to move on from that, to decide that I want more from my life, the universe opens itself up to you in ways that you can't even see. And sometimes it's things that were there the whole time that you literally couldn't see because of the way that you were living. And it's that really, that's kind of back to the transformation piece that I mentioned earlier. That's the most rewarding part of this work, when you see that happen, like the little steps forward, and then something else shows up for them. And then little steps forward, and then something else. And it's, again, so often it was there the whole time, but when we're living that way, when we're living in this diminished way, we just don't see possibility out in the universe. When I know, and I know you believe this too, Heather, that there's nothing but possibility out in the world.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, when we can continue to help women see this, because I think women, you know, suffer from this more than men. Right.
Yes.
I just do, in the relationship aspect. And it really is, what is your identity? But, you know,
yeah.
part of your identity is being married, and it's a little bit harder. But
yeah.
I only represent women, but I can speak from all that experience that it really does take a lot of courage to make that step and then move on from mm-hmm. the feeling that
yeah.
do nothing to help you
yep.
as far as the guilt and shame. And then
yeah.
be a better version of yourself. And, you know, hey, not
yeah.
everybody does, right? Sometimes they just get divorced and they go off and they're of no benefit to anyone
yeah.
else, but
right.
they had a choice.
Yeah, it's
but
a choice.
They had a choice
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that most women, and you know, I'm fortunate having been doing this for so long now that I still see clients, you know, like 10, 15 years ago. And, even 20, and they're so happy,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they're like, my life is so different now.
Yeah.
And that's just so rewarding, because that's what we want, I think, for all people, is that
yeah.
they find a better way than
yep.
they did. And, you know, I know focusing on the future certainly helps that and helps you get away from getting stuck. But
mm-hmm.
lastly, Kristen, before we go, I would love if you could tell our listeners and myself, you know, what you've learned about divorce and representing women throughout your career.
I think I said this earlier. I just that women have been and still are holding up the world. And if we could get out of our own way, we could also rule it. And I mean, that sounds like maybe a little cliche, but it's just they're holding up the whole world. And I think sometimes they get caught up in like, I'm doing all of these things and I'm failing in little ways at all of them, instead of seeing it for what it is, that they're just heroic, right? They're just heroic. No one ever told men that they were selfish for choosing themselves. And that's what the world has told, particularly in the world where we live, has told women that. And so the courage that it takes to make a decision to choose something more, I think when women do that, I think there's just nothing more powerful, nothing. And that's, you know, I like representing men too. I especially like representing men who are just like really care about being good dads. But at the end of the day, the transformations, like the ones that just like, that we talk about, that we're like, oh, that, you know, like to your point, when you hear from them and they're like, they can't believe whatever's happening. Maybe it's a new relationship or something happened in their career. Their kids are just like doing so well, or they're just like, there's not even anything specific. They're just happy. It's so rewarding to hear that, particularly from women.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Kristen. We have reached the end of our show, and it's been such a pleasure to see you and have you as a guest on the show today.
It has been my pleasure being here.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And for all our listeners, you can find out more about Kristen and Freedmarcroft's law firm at freedmarcroft.com. And in our show notes, we will have links to their site as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Women Winning Divorce. If you or someone you know is looking for answers regarding divorce, reach out to us at floridawomenslawgroup.com and also join the conversation on social at Women Winning Divorce. Women Winning Divorce is the place for an elevated conversation on how women can thrive during times of adversity in order to live their best life.